This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Our all-time favorites, Dana Evans from Louisville, will join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. And he asked to be back. And we're talking about Seth Greenberg. Because, hey, if you come back, you better bring accounting. He said, hey, no problem.
He's also one of our all-time favorites.
Of course.
He's
everybody's
also one of our all-time favorites.
We don't bring people on that we don't
like.
I'm
in the top 20.
According to the Packer and Durham net rankings, you are definitely in the top 20.
I finally got in someone's top 20. I thought I'd be on the bubble.
All right.
No. Not on our bubble.
I want to go before we get started. I want to go to social media because about an hour and a half ago, you said. You retweeted our show tweet for the day, and you said, honored to be a small part of 300. I'm big on milestones. And then there was a bunch of rolling eyes and laugh emojis and stuff like that.
It's the angry Seth Greenberg that we really have known to love and appreciate. When all of a sudden,
in the middle of
battle, he says, give me the mic. Give me the stinking mic. That's the Greenberg that we love.
Listen to me. They stopped booing, didn't they?
Yeah, instantly. hard to believe. 15 years ago.
15 right years ago today, Coach. 15 years ago
today. I look a lot younger today.
You look better today. Hey, and let me tell you something. You got out of coaching. It was the best thing ever happened to you. You're making more money. You haven't lost a game. You're down 52 pounds. And you can still tell everybody what's going on. Oh, you got life right where you want it.
Well, that's because I was the lowest paid coach in the ACC for 9 years, despite being one of the winners for a 5-year period.
Yeah,
that's just because Jim Weaver was cheap and didn't pay me what I deserve. That's basic.
Now the truth comes. This is the angry Greenberg I was looking for. Right there.
Here we go. That's what I was looking for.
You win coach of the year twice, and you're the lowest paid coach in the league. I mean, come on.
You got two of those. K's got one. What are we talking about? We'll meet at the middle.
What are we doing?
We'll just meet at the middle.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Oh, that was awesome.
All right.
You're kind to come back. Let's get to your accounting. Ladies and gentlemen, talk about your special guest accounting. Here is Seth Greenberg's accounting for the week. This is a list now. Packer's going to have some questions. Take us through this, Coach.
I put him in tiers. So I put him in tiers. And tier one, obviously, goes through Virginia Tech. Florida State, to me, is the most talented team in the league. You saw what they did the other night. I think they knocked down 12 threes. They're making threes. They're going to get better. Raekwon Evans is the key to that team. Raekwon Evans, everyone thinks about Scotty Barnes. Scotty Barnes is terrific. He's a power forward. That's playing the point guard now. He'll adjust. Raekwon Evans had a big game the other day. Virginia will continue to get better. I was excited that Morsell made some jumpers to compliment Sam Hauser. Obviously, Huff's not going to knock down threes every single night, but Tony Bennett's teams, as I look at them, they always continue to get better, and they're figuring themselves out. I have them ahead of Clemson because, quite honestly, efficiency matters, especially as you get worn down in the season and there are fewer secrets. I've got Clemson just slightly below Virginia. Obviously, they play this weekend. That'll be a big game. Two elite defenses, but I think Virginia has greater growth. They have greater opportunity to get better. Louisville at number four, they went head-to-head with Virginia Tech, but it's not as much that. I think they're going to get Midland back this week, and I think they could get Malik Williams back, who's one of the best front-court defenders in the country. Virginia Tech has been terrific, absolutely terrific. I don't know how much better they can get. They are playing to their strengths about as well as any team in the league right now. I love what Mutz is doing. I love what Luma's doing. I love what Jalen Cohn's like, the microwave coming off the bench, knocking down jumpers, which gives him another score. I think Radford gives him toughness. But I'm not sure how much better they can get. What they are is a Mike Young team. They're going to win a bunch of games, but I don't know what their ceiling is. Duke is in my second tier. They're the start of my second tier, and there's nothing about them that makes me crazy. The team that I was disappointed in this week was NC State. They've had a couple of tough losses. Carolina, do they have it fixed? I don't know. Pitt, they can't make a shot and they turn it over. Georgia Tech, I'm still not sold. Cuse, I want to like him, but Joe Girard makes it harder because he's just so inconsistent. So that's kind of like the top two tiers.
All right, I want to go back to the top tier here because we all this week had the same five, and we keep asking who's the alpha. And that's we kind of said this week we're going to draw the line right there at five. And I think that's where it is, not to say that Duke or North Carolina or NC State or somebody else could get on a run and join the group. But right now you can't put them there. But, you know, when we played that clip of what happened 15 years ago and that Hokie Nation was booing, they're booing right now. Mike Young's sitting there going, hey, wait a minute now. You got us fifth out of that group. The Hokies have been playing some good. You said they're playing well, but to put them five, really well. To put them in the number five spot, the top five.
Well, they lost to Louisville.
All right, on the road, they close.
They beat Clemson.
Right at home,
which was a good win. That Penn State loss, obviously, not that it's in league means anything. I just look at their team. I like look. They're an NCAA tournament team this year. Who knows what seed they would be. They're an NCAA tournament team, but, you know, I look at them and I say, all right, how much better can they get? Here we are in the middle of January. Are they playing about as well as they could play? Yeah, they are. They share the basketball. They make threes. Obviously, some nights they don't, but they make threes, and they got a Mike Young toughness. There's no doubt about it. But what is their ceiling? And I look at their ceiling and I say, you know what? Clemson, their ceiling might be better than Clemson because Clemson struggles scoring. But right now, I have Clemson over them. I think Clemson's developing a little bit of identity right now.
By the way, who do you like, Virginia?
I have Virginia beating Clemson this weekend.
Oh, that was going to be my question. So you like the who's going on the road after being able to shoot and score against Notre Dame? But you know, let me ask you this too, Wes. And Wes and I talked about this earlier. When you get a game like that tomorrow with Virginia and Clemson, how big a deal is who you've played? Because I get a sense that Clemson's been tested and has better wins than what Virginia. When you go through the list of who Virginia has beaten, you just kind of go, yeah, okay. I mean, you're supposed to. And you got, hey, nobody's going to beat Gonzaga. Nobody in this league right now is going to beat Gonzaga. Right. And they got railroaded and no big deal. It didn't happen to everybody. And I think Clemson's toughness of, hey, we've beaten Bama. We've beaten Purdue. We've beaten Maryland. We've beaten Mississippi State. We've beaten Florida State. Is much stronger bringing to the table of what Virginia's accomplished. Now, who knows who wins the game, but I think being in those kind of games helps you in what you expect to be a tough, physical, low-scoring defensive game tomorrow night.
I might agree with the pack, but Clemson's also coming off a pause. That's a concern.
Well, wait a minute. So was Florida State till they shot 71%. I mean, sometimes the pause isn't a bad thing.
Yeah, but Clemson's pause has been a little longer. And, you know, I just look at it coming off a pause, a team that's predicated on, well, they're going to play hard, but they struggle scoring it at normally. And coming off a pause, I think a team that struggles scoring normally and doesn't have as many weapons. I mean, you know, you talk about Florida State, right? Who are you game planning for in Florida State? Raekwon Evans, Raekwon Gray, MJ Walker, Scotty Barnes, Koprivica. I mean, like, you start going through, Polite can beat you one night. I mean, Wilkes can come off the bench and knock down some threes. I'm not sure that Clemson has that.
You know, they've already beaten them. Came for Florida State and already beaten them.
Yeah, that's right. And that was a while ago. My projections are where these teams are going to be come March.
Okay.
You asked me for the power, not where they are in this moment in time. These teams are going to be come March.
All right. You crystal balled it more than the middle of January.
Well, potential. I'm looking at a team's potential.
All right. Fair enough.
So if teams stay healthy, they get to practice.
All right.
We sort those top five, and everybody's got the same five, and we understand that. Of the group 6-11, okay, and I'm going to – no offense to BC, Miami, Notre Dame, and Wake, but we're going to deal with that next group here. When I look at that next group 6-11, what's the most important thing for those teams in making that move forward? Playing games, staying on schedule, just doing something normal?
Consistency, and you know, I think routine and consistency obviously been an issue in college basketball. I mean, we talked about this way, way back. The three P's are never more evident.
Exactly.
Patience in terms of if you do get shut down, understand it, deal with it the best you can. plans, multiple plans. You're going to have to change your schedule. Things are going to go on. But, you know, the plan that you have probably is going to be the plan that's going to end up materializing. And then protocol. Protocol's working, guys. Protocol's working. We're seeing teams get shut down, all right, for a reason. But they're getting shut down for the health and welfare of the players and the coaches, officials, and everyone else involved. So, you know, I think trying to be get to a routine and have some type of consistency. Well, lack of routine and lack of consistency has created inconsistency. So we're going to see teams that have that are going to win a great game one game and then play poorly the next game. That's just the way it is. Those teams on the bottom, I think trying to find develop some consistency. I'm not sure Duke should be probably at the top of that tier because I'm not sure they have the toughest maturity to develop the consistency. I think that NC State could jump them. The ones at the bottom, there are concerns. Like for Cuse, Joe Girard, I mean, he's playing 30-something minutes a game. He's, you know, he's not making shots. Now, I think they've been hurt by the pandemic and pause as much as anyone. I think Buddy Boeheim is going to really explode, but I like their team. Carolina, can they fix their guard play? Can they fix it? I don't know, because until they fix their guard play, even though they won three in a row, even though they dominate people on the glass, even though they can score in the paint, until you fix the guard play, when you play a good team, you're going to have a hard time winning. And that's just the way it is. NC State kind of blew my mind because they gave that game away last week and then they got crushed by Florida State. The young guards were exposed, but I still believe in NC State. I believe in NC State. I think they'll get better. Duke is probably too high in tier two. I don't think they have toughness. I don't have that, you know, like Kentucky, you know, like the teams that are relying on like Carolina, like themselves, they're relying on young players. And point guard play is just not good enough. They don't have a guy that can just take over a game and go. Like, you look, so you're going to play through Matthew Hurt? Well, someone's going to get the ball to Matthew Hurt. So if you eliminate the guy that has to get the ball to Matthew Hurt, then who makes him go? Is it Goldwire? Is it Roach? I don't know. I'm not sure either of those guys. Is it R.J. Davis? Yeah. Is it Caleb Love for Carolina? I don't know. When you're relying on those freshman guards, I think it's really hard. Like here's the thing, just nationally, guys. Think about the guys in the country nationally. We spent so much time. He's a five-star. He's this. He's that. He's a McDonald's All-American. He's this. He's that. That sounds great. How many freshmen have any impact on the game? I mean, you know, Jalen Suggs, he's playing with a bunch of grown men. He's playing with grown blank men. So if you look at the freshmen that are having impacts, Hunter Dickinson, who's he playing with? A bunch of grown men. All right? So when you look at these freshmen, Cade Cunningham, yeah, he's been pretty good. Now, he hasn't been maybe what everyone thought he would be, but he's been really good. Evan Mobley, he won a game against USC, played Utah the other day. The dude didn't get a shot in the first half. I mean, in the game. He didn't get a shot in the game. He might be the second or third pick in the draft. So when you're playing, unless you're playing with grown men, these freshmen, they're good, but you're not winning with them.
Hey, Coach, you know why we bring you on this show? You want to know why?
I come cheap.
Yeah. That and you're dealing with a bunch of grown men on this show, right? A bunch of grown blankety-blank men. So you are bringing the heat today. You are bringing the truth because you are 100% right. And it doesn't mean that those freshmen can't eventually turn into really good players, but when you have no summer, a limited fall, and then you throw them in the deep end of the pool, you're going to have nights where you go, yikes, what is going on here? And if you're not playing on a consistent basis, such as like Duke taking a pause in December, they're off for another week, it's going to look that way. And so you're 100% right.
Every once in a while, I throw it against sticks
No, you are spot on.
I figure if I can fool you guys, if I can fool you guys once a week, then you know what? I'll stay employed.
No, you got it. Listen, you are spot on with that assessment. And that's true for not only the ACC. Like you said, that is a nationwide deal, period. 100% right.
I have much better news. I have much better news for the American college basketball.
Maybe celebrating a big win or something. I mean, can we find that? Hey, Brooksy, can you go back? I had a couple of big wins. I mean, can you just, you know, find a clip where, like, I'm smiling and happy and hugging my daughters or something?
Yeah,
I
but
mean, come on.
But wait a minute. You know, the only reason that was brought up today on the show is because you had fun sort of at our expense being a milestone. And so we figured that we returned the favor that, you know, 15 years ago this very day.
Since we had your milestone.
You were giving us a little prelude to, hey, listen, I've got a career in broadcasting. Let me show you how I handle the mic. You did the mic drop before we even knew there was a mic drop.
And by the way, the shirts and the ties and the gear today is a lot better. The shirt on the sideline looked a little baggy. The tie was out of whack. You're a lot cleaner, a lot more stylish now than you were then.
I'm not sweating for my shirt anymore. I mean, Bonds and Brees don't make me sweat. Bill is sometimes when, you know, when he comes up with some of his one-liners. But, I mean, you know, like the worst thing that could happen to me today is if, you know, I mispronounce a name.
I don't have
to deal with officials.
Right. Thoughts and prayers to Jake the Wonder Hound too. All right.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. You guys are the best.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Billis, America's College Basketball Show returns tonight on this very channel, friends. 8:00 Eastern. The one show you thought you could go this winter and not get, Bald Men Not on Campus. Bald Men Socially Distance returns tonight. LaFonso Ellis, who had the most sparkling career of the three, by the way. Jay Billis, Coach Greenberg, 8:00. This is a fun show. The humor is dry and the needle is out starting at 8:00 tonight right here on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network. Yes, sir,
it's
you
a
have
brotherhood.
A thought before we go on this?
Yeah, it's a brotherhood. Also, yes. Hey, college game day is going to be on ESPN2 on Saturday. We've got Mark Few and Luca Garza, so potentially the coach of the year in college basketball and potentially the player of the year in college basketball. It's going to be a fun show. But Baldhead Men on Campus or not on campus is a brotherhood.
Yes.
You think Duke's the only brotherhood? Boys, we got a brotherhood too.
Enjoy the weekend.
Have a great weekend.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, show 300 on a Friday. Get you ready for the weekend. Good stuff happening. Even though we've had some cancellations, which have been disturbing, but nevertheless, it's a world we live in with COVID. We also live in a world in which somebody says, hey, Mickey Mantle card, $5.2 million? Yeah, sure, I'm in. Man, what a world we live in, right? What a great country this is. What a country we live in.
I just don't know. I mean, look, there's sports memorabilia out there, and I don't know if you kept up with cards as a kid. I did for a couple of years. I mean, they seem to be fine, whatever. But $5.2 million for a Mickey Mantle card just seems a little crazy. But what kind of ACC memorabilia would you be willing to acquire? Or what ACC memorabilia do you have? We asked the question yesterday on social media. Use the hashtag Packer and Durham. Some of you were kind enough to respond, and we got some interesting answers here, Pack. Some really interesting answers. Now, Thomas Jones came to right at our heart. He really did. On Twitter, he said, I want the corner floor scoreboard from Carmichael, the little white hand-operated scoreboard.
We have talked about it.
Thomas, we've been looking at that. We've been trying to find it. We've made calls. We've sent emails to no avail.
We've had people even mention to us where they believe it is located, and we've reached nothing but dead ends.
Yep.
And you know what? It doesn't exist for all we know. Maybe that is long gone and in some wood pile somewhere. I don't know. But we have actually inquired about that. And that started with our ACC Central radio show, was where all that stuff got started. So, yeah, we've actually – that was on our to-do list, was to try to find that thing.
What was that show Robert Stack hosted, Unsolved Mysteries?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the show Robert Stack hosted?
God, 100 years ago, yeah.
Yeah.
That's about where we are.
That's about where we are with the little white scoreboard, Thomas, from Carmichael Auditorium.
I think it was cool.
Cody Fortune has got one that I think would fetch a dollar or two. If Cody ever put this up. He's got the Model A step plate from the Ramblin' Wreck of Georgia Tech, Pack.
Wow. How'd he get his hands on that? I'd like to see that.
Probably a member of the Ramblin' Wreck Club.
I'd like to see a picture. Wouldn't you like to see a picture? I'd like to see a picture of that.
Yeah. Cody, I'd like a picture of that.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to steal it from you. I mean, we're not coming off the hip.
I just want a picture.
I'd just like to see it. I'd like to see that thing. That'd be cool.
Christopher King tweets us on a regular occasion. He says the C.D. Chesley videotape of the 74 ACC final is tough to beat.
Right there.
It sits right there on the floor, right there behind Pack. And we don't know if it works, but we got it.
That's the original.
Right there it is.
The only one
Chesley
in the world.
That's the game. Yep. Straight from Billy. He's got a football signed by Larry Russell and Riley Skinner, the two champion ACC champion quarterbacks. That's pretty good, too, now. If you got a football signed by both those guys and they won the ACC title, that's pretty solid. Bud Beamer, who I think actually is a combination of Bud Foster and Frank Beamer in Twitterville, says that he likes the Emmy for Best Show from the basement.
It's right here on the front.
He thinks that's a really good piece of memorabilia.
If you go to the overhead shot, it's right there on the front. There it is.
Yeah.
There it is. That's the award. Yeah. In fact, we are the only show on ACC Network to date. The network's just over a year old. We're the only show on the network that has received a sports Emmy.
We really have not won an Emmy.
Yes. Excuse me. This is not Lee Corso hologram time. That is a real Emmy, and it's sitting right there on my desk. And that is for the best sports show from a basement with dogs. Right there. It's no hologram. It's the real thing. So, Wes, I don't know why you are you embarrassed that we won this? Is that what it is?
I would go along with this until people start asking me about it. Well, that's when I go.
It's right there.
Kind of.
I don't know what. I mean, I know you haven't been in the basement in over a year, but it's sitting right there. There it is. I'm not making it up.
A year. That is correct.
I mean, you haven't been in my house in almost a year. Almost a year. But it's there
March
it is.
March 13th. March 13th.
Right. I mean, so we debuted in what? August of 19?
19. August 22nd.
We're basically almost a year and a half into this
23rd,
gig.
Actually.
So there it is. I mean, we're the only show so far to get one. I mean, in play, hey, I hope they get one. Bald men on or off campus, I hope they get one. Nothing but net.
Huddle.
All those shows, they're excellent. Huddle. And you get a great ACC news. Yeah. But we got the stinking Emmy, and it's right there. So, right. I mean, if you want to be in denial, that's why it's in my house and not yours. That's why I got it.
That's right.
And it hoes. Let me tell you what it does. This Wake Forest Jen Hoover, Wake Forest Demon Deaconette, it goes right on top of the Emmy. That's where I hold it.
Yeah.
Right there.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Many thanks to Seth Greenberg. Many thanks to Monica McNutt. But right now, you are going to see and have another visit with the student athlete in the ACC that has appeared on our show more than anyone else. And this breaks the tie. Dana Evans is a great player. We love having her on the show. She's always fun. And she now makes history as the most viewed student athlete ever on Packer and Durham. How about that, Dana? Good morning.
Good morning. I think that's awesome. I appreciate you guys for always having me on here.
Well, you're always fun to talk to, and you're great to watch. I mean, we talked about this about an hour or so ago, that not only are you dynamic on the floor, just the way you handle yourself, you're mature, you got your act together, you're a great representation of what a Louisville student athlete's about, and we applaud you for that because you're a joy to talk to and obviously watch play. So with all that said and all those accolades – Hey, more of the same last night, right? You guys just taking care of business. Whoever wants to play, let's go play. You guys are really, really good.
Thank you. We do have a talented team. We have freshmen that's been stepping up huge for us, and I think that's great. I think I can make sure that I'm able to lead them in the right way. I think they listen to me, and we got a chance to do something special this year.
Dana, we have had Coach Walls on a couple different times in about the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks. And seemingly every time he's come on, he's just stopped short of offering a toll-free number to get somebody to call so that they could play a game. As much as he is shilled for a game with us, has he, like, hey, y'all know somebody that plays at another school that needs a game? I mean, how far along has he gone with you guys about trying to find games?
Well, he really don't ask us much. He pretty much gets it done himself, which is what we love about him, because he could just sit back and just let us play the minimum games that there is, but he's out there fighting and trying to get us as many games as possible, because we put the work in the summertime. We've been doing everything that we could. So we want to play games. We don't want to practice every day. We want to play.
Dana, I got to tell you, when the word broke this week that because of COVID, and it's everybody all the time, and you have to live it. When I saw the news, though, that the NC State-Louisville game had been postponed, I got to tell you, that was a bummer, because not only is your team really talented, ranked number 2 in the country, so is NC State. And they're number 3 in the country. They've already gone on the road, beaten number 1 ranked South Carolina. West won the championship last year, as you all know, in the league. It just stinks that we can't get this game this weekend. And from your perspective, given how crazy it is every day living and trying to stay healthy and so you can practice and hopefully have a game, how disappointing was that news given the magnitude of the matchup that number 2 was going to take on number 3 in the country this Sunday?
Well, we try to look at each game at a time. We don't try to look past any of these opponents in the ACC, because obviously everybody is good. Everybody can be beat. So we just take one game at a time. But obviously that was a big game and we were excited about it. But we're just praying that it'll still happen soon. With COVID going on, you just never know.
And that's the other part about this, Dana. We last time you talked to us, you said, hey, look, we're all going to have to understand that it's flexible and you may be playing one team and then all of a sudden it can change. Well, that's exactly what happened. 2 days ago, the game gets postponed, and now you're playing somebody else on Sunday and you're not playing NC State, and Florida State's going to come in and play. What does that do for you guys? Is it more about, hey, just worry about us and then, you know, coaches will get us prepared and then, you know, we'll deal with us and not worry as much about who the opponent is?
It's definitely about worrying about us, because we have to make sure that we're taking care of business and getting in the gym and doing what we need to do, and then we can focus on our opponent. Like you said, I think you just have to be extremely flexible and just ready to play whoever. And that's the mindset you have to have with this being this COVID year.
By the way, since it is Florida State, and I know last year's last year, but you know what? As often as your team wins, when you don't win one, you remember. Chip on shoulder a little bit this weekend, or is it, hey, that's over with, we move on?
Chip on shoulder, of course. They're a good team. They're tough, and they play really good defense, I think. So we have to come in with the mindset ready to play, ready to rebound, because that's what they do well, and just take care of business.
Dana, you mentioned the team. Haley Van Liss off to a great start. What's that been like for you to see someone come in their first season and have that kind of impact?
It's exciting. Just showing how talented she is as a freshman. She still has things that she can either work on and get better on. So that's what's exciting, I think, too. But she's fun to play with. She's a competitor. She's tough. She's willing to do whatever it takes to win a game. And that's what I like about playing with her.
Dana, as a senior, do you like the leadership role? Because I'm sure that like most regular students, when you're a senior and you see freshmen walking on campus, you laugh and go, man, I remember being in those shoes where your eyes are bug-eyed and you're not sure where you're going. Hey, you've been around the block now. You've won huge games. You're a great player. How cool is it being in a leadership role with a really talented team like this?
I love it. I definitely love it. I think the easiest part is being able to lead this team. They allow me to do so. They allow me to coach them up. They allow me to talk to them. They even allow me to get on them when I think they're not going hard. So that's the fun part for me. My job is easy leading a team like this because they're so coachable and they want to get better. So that's what I love. And we're all competitors.
We may have talked about this before, but in watching a handful of your games so far this year, I started to wonder, and I know your dad's had a big impact on your career, and you've played a lot of different basketball, both internationally and certainly at Louisville. But when you watch tape of other players, who are you watching?
I watch all the great players, whether that's NBA, WNBA, college women's basketball, just players that I think I can compare my game to. I like to watch them and kind of steal things from them because you want to steal things from the great players. That's how you just add to your game.
All right. So with that said, give me the best thing you've stolen. And I don't mean that in the ugly term.
Stolen? I would say my hesitation. I stole that from somebody back in high school, and I've carried it with me, and it's took me a long way.
And by the way, you know, the men
right,
have gotten
well,
off to
a... Well, who'd you steal it? Wait, hold on. Who'd you steal it from in high school? Who'd you steal that from in high school? People would expect you to say, like, Kyrie or Russell Westbrook or John Wall or somebody like that. Did you stole it from somebody at the high school level?
Yes, I stole it from a girl named Ravine Murray. She played at Maryville High School when I was, I was a 7th or 8th grader in middle school. And she used the move, and she was unstoppable with it. So I figured to put it in my game.
You know what? That's smart. Awesome. By the way, I was going to follow up with you that you know, the men have gotten off to a good start in the league. Obviously, you guys are ranked number 2 in the country. Is there a little, not necessarily budding rivalry, but there's got to be a pretty cool feel that from a basketball perspective in the ACC, right now, the men and the women at Louisville are getting the job done.
Yes, I think it's exciting. They have a talented team. A really talented transfer, Carlique Jones. He's been big for them. He's been doing it on both ends. He's fearless. He's tough. He just gets the job done.
Reminds you of you.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's definitely a competitor.
Yeah. You know what? It's like looking in the mirror, isn't it, Dana? It's like, oh yeah, I've seen that game. I see that game every time we go to practice. Every time we lace it up, I see that game. This is why we like you on the show, because you're transparent. Like, hey, you know what? I'm going to be real with you guys. Here's what's happening. Yeah, we're good, but you know, it doesn't mean we can't get better. It doesn't mean we don't get to work.
Right.
And that's what it's all about. That is what it's all about.
All right. Dana, last night during the game, Coach Walls, these shoes he was wearing. Now, the Duncan Cardinal on the Adidas Retro Superstars, and then his picture was on the tongue of the shoe. Come on now. I mean, that's crazy, right?
Yes. Yes, he gets his shoes customized. Somebody out here in Louisville, he does them for him, and he do a really good job. He's also got us all a pair of shoes like that, customized with our face on the tongue. So we're very fortunate to be able to get some shoes like that too.
What?
Customized.
Really?
Yes, that was our Christmas gift.
Hey, Dana, let me tell you something. When the NCAA finally wakes up and signs this name, image, and likeness deal, let me tell you something. You are going to be in business. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. <For sure>. Yes.
In business.
In
That's
business.
That's what we're
all waiting on. Hey,
you got
the
it.
Most important class will be accounting, right, Pac?
That's it. I have my accountant is what I'm going to need. That's what I'm talking. Well, listen, hey. I can't tell you how much fun it is to talk to you. And, I mean, as much fun as we love watching your team play, and you in particular, because you're such a great leader, you've been great on the air with us, and I just want you to know that. And I can tell you Thanks. That the folks that listen and watch this show, we always brag about really the stars are not only the dogs and the cat with Wes's standpoint, but the student athletes in this league really, really do a great job. And I just want to congratulate you and your teammates for really putting in the work and making it easy for us. So, again, congratulations on that front.
Packer and Durham.
This happens every 100 shows. We dress up as if we're true professionals. I may just be locked in the basement for the rest of my life. I never leave the house.
Now let's get to the real business, Pack.
I mean, I'm in the basement 18 hours a day. Something hasn't happened since dirt. I know one thing. It is 9:49 a.m. It's Friday.
Yeah.
And in 15 minutes,
yep.
Coat, tie, Chester, Fuller, Ford F-150, and I'm headed to Bojangles today. As always, every Friday, it's the perfect tie to the Bojangles menu.
Cup of coffee. Here it is, the Bojangles weekend menu, right along with a fresh cup of coffee. We got men's hoops for you tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Boston College is at Notre Dame. Mike Monaco, Dan Bonner will be there. 8 o'clock tomorrow night, Jay Alter and Malcolm Huckabee, Mike side for Louisville and Miami. The triple header is reduced to a double header on the ladies' side, too. Boston College at Notre Dame at high noon at 4 o'clock. Wake Forest and Virginia Tech. Men's game, 6 o'clock. Virginia Tech at Wake Forest with Anish Shroff and the very stylish Debbie Antonelli. That is followed by Nothing But Net right here on ACCN. There's your Bojangles weekend menu, Pack. All wrapped up and ready to go.
I will tell you, I am still disappointed that we're not going to get Louisville and NC State with the women. I'm still disappointed that we're not going to get Friday duels because the Virginia Tech North Carolina wrestling match got COVID. I got to tell you, that stinks because my Friday was locked and loaded for the duels. I love the Friday duels, and so we're not going to get that. But I hope we get it down the road. We just never know with this COVID thing. I keep telling you, day by day, we keep grinding and just kind of get through the best we can. That's where we are.
Well, we mentioned there with Georgia Tech and NC State being shelved tomorrow on the men's side, there have been 17 now postponements of ACC basketball. Only one has been made up, and that was the January 2nd Syracuse at North Carolina game that was played earlier this week. Two other postponements have been accounted for by movement in the schedule. So the wheels in the schedule have to be turning here pretty quick, and the folks that do this have got to be looking. Unfortunately, Mark, we're going to have to find a way to go from the two-game week to the three-game week here, and you know what that's been like in the past. We've avoided that for the better part of this year with the scheduling. However, it looks like we're going to have to maybe potentially look at that if you try and fit the puzzle together. But again, that's on the women's side and the men's side. I just gave you the men's numbers a moment ago, but we'll keep an eye on that too and see if we can keep a calendar handy, right? A couple of transaction news. Let's start with a tweet from Andrea Adelson yesterday, and it involves coaching. First of all, at the University of Miami, where Manny Diaz is going to keep defensive coordinator Blake Baker, but he's going to call the plays on defense for the Canes next year. David Cutcliffe had a litany of reorg on his staff at Duke. The highlight there is that Jeff Ferris is now going to call the offensive plays. Cut's going to go back to being the head coach. Now, the defensive coordinator situation that's been split between Ben Albert and Matt Guerrieri stays the same. Guerrieri will continue, I think, to call the plays on game day, according to stories I read yesterday. And some of the recruiting behind that on defense and some of the other positional changes. There have been some moves from offense to defense. Trooper Taylor has gone from coaching wide receivers into the secondary. So some shuffling around the boards on the Duke football coaching staff. In terms of players, big news from Clemson yesterday. And this was not – I think a lot of people thought this was a given, Pack, that Justin Ross was going to come back. That was not – that's not what I was feeling at all. I thought there was still an opportunity that he may forego and not return to the Tigers next fall.
Well, I think the most important thing is he's able to return to football. That's number one.
That's correct.
And let's also be honest, as good as Clemson was last year, win another ACC title, go to another college football playoff, really the missing piece – there were a couple of things that were in play for them last year – But we kept talking about week in, week out, who's going to step up and be the deep threat. And Cornell Powell had a terrific season, and by the end of the year, it was really breaking through to be that guy. But let's be honest, number eight is a dude. Number eight is a game changer. Mm-hmm. And I thought Clemson really missed him last year. And you can only imagine if he were in the lineup, it makes Amari Rodgers, Cornell Powell, and everybody else that much better because they only got so many guys on the field. But number eight coming back, that's more than just bringing back a five-star recruit. That guy is an All-America player. So that is a huge, huge news nugget for Clemson football and the ACC for 21.
Yeah, no doubt. Especially when you add Skalski back, right, on the defensive side, some of the other things Clemson's going to have, in addition to highly thought-of recruiting classes.
Well, their entire defense, I believe the entire defense is back. Nolan Turner could still be back. And if he decides to come back for that, quote unquote, that senior year, they will have 11 starters back. And guys like Justin Foster, who really never played last year, defensively, they're going to be ridiculous in terms of experience and another recruiting class. But Justin Ross coming back is a big story. I know we're in hoops, but that's a big story, no question.
Well, we'll dive a little bit into football. As we said, it was going to get very transactive. Maybe we'll step back. The deadline for declaration to the draft is coming up. We'll get into some of that, obviously, next week. We'll talk a little bit more about kind of the new offseason of football and what that looks like and kind of get some feel from some of our folks out there. But good stuff for Andrea Adelson, on Manny Diaz and also David Cutcliffe. Big weekend of basketball. You know about UVA Clemson. That's 6 o'clock tomorrow night on ESPN. High noon is Florida State Carolina from Tallahassee. That is well on ESPN tomorrow, along with with the ball game Syracuse and Pittsburgh as well. And you can see that on ACC NX tomorrow. Congratulations on show 300, Pards.
Same to you,
and,
partner.
Thanks to Monica McNutt.
Cheers.
Seth Greenberg and Dana Evans for being a part of the show.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.